You're listening to the Cash and Burn podcast, and I'm your host, Brandon Metcalf. Join me as I interview and have conversations with founders and leaders about the greatest obstacles and challenges they've faced while building their businesses. Learn how they overcame them and ultimately what made them successful. The podcast is brought to you by Place. Place is a B2B SaaS customer subscription management, billing, forecasting, and metrics platform powered by Salesforce. Growing SaaS businesses use Place to better align their revenue and finance teams so they can boost revenue growth and retention, manage renewals, collect cash faster, and make more informed decisions all directly inside of Salesforce. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Cash and Burn. Today I have Werner Schmidt, the CEO and founder of Lativ. Hey, Werner, how are you?
Very good, Brandon. Thanks. Good to meet you, and thanks for having me on the show.
Where in the world are you today?
I'm actually in Barcelona. I'm with my co-founder, who's based out of Barcelona. Our development team's out of Barcelona. So good to be here. I'm going to be here for the week.
I love that city. I don't get to that city as often as I would certainly like. But why don't you start off by telling everyone your background, who you are, what you guys are doing, and give us some more insight.
Great. So yeah. So thanks, Brandon. So we founded Lativ about 2.5 years ago. And then really focusing on sales performance efficiency and planning for sales organizations. Prior to that, I've been a RevOps for about 20 years. So that's where I went through the joys of figuring out how to enable sales organizations and enable them to be high growth sales organizations, but do it efficiently. And had the opportunity to work with great teams, great tech stacks. Throughout my career, and then took the opportunity to found Lativ and build our own technology to really help those organizations just be more efficient and more structured about how we think about sales performance. And really, as we think about the world that we're in now, about how we not just don't look at performance, but we also look at how we get to our numbers efficiently, and then using that data to really build revenue efficient capacity plans. So so I was fortunate enough to meet my co-founder. We decided to leave our corporate roles and found Lativ.
So give us more depth on what the product actually does, because I think our audience could be a potentially great audience to learn more, and you could help some folks on there. So get into a little bit of detail on it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thanks, Brandon. So really what Lativ is, it's a sales performance efficiency and planning platform. What that's allowing you to do is really connect to your CRM and look at things like what's the average productivity of the sales team. We bring in then the cost data, and then looking at efficiency, return on investment, and then we're taking those data points to then feed that into models so that you can actually build accurate capacity plans. But what's unique about Lativ is that this is all real time. So that the idea of us doing annual planning or looking at it biannually or maybe even once a quarter actually falls away. You're just constantly being able to see what my performance is, what my efficiency is, and what's the impact of that's having on the capacity plan that I've put together. And then do I need to make any adjustments? Do we need to optimize? Do we need to hire more? Do we need to move a headcount or move a headcount from one team to the next? So really making better investment decisions. But ultimately, what are the outcomes that we're driving? We're driving more profitable sales growth. You can improve your revenue visibility and accuracy. Benchmarking is really important. How do I benchmark the teams against each other, but both internally and also externally? But also then that big piece, right, being able to see your capacity in real time and see the impact of the decisions that you have in your real time. Which allows us to move at a far more faster pace than we're used to with the current way of trying to calculate all these calculations today on spreadsheets, which is done today mostly, and then feeding that into our nice big spreadsheet or access models that we all love, but really automating that all so that the teams can really focus on the more important strategic elements of the role.
Nice. So instead of a lot of the sales planning tools I've seen is more like what's the pipeline plan, what's the forecast to close and all of that. If I heard you correctly, what you guys are doing is actually looking at something different. Like
who's your sales team? Do you have the right size sales team? Is it being fully utilized in like in the right areas? And who should you be hiring when and where and where? Like, is that essentially, did I get that right?
Exactly. So, because we look at it from a productivity standpoint, is that, you know, what's the average, that's what we call a yield per rep per unit of time. So how much does a salesperson actually generate on average over a time period that you're looking at? And once you know that, well, then how do I see that across dimensions? And then we're doing a bunch of other things, you know, I won't get into the details on that, but we need more time, but and that's allowing you to then see, okay, well, where is my productivity actually coming from, or where is it not coming from? And then starting to look at the efficiency piece so that you can start to optimize and adjust. So yeah, exactly that. So it's important, of course, to have your quotas and your attainment, and that's what, you know, organizations do today. This is taking it another level down to be a bit more scientific about how we approach it. And of course, as we build capacity plans, we need to be more scientific than how it's been, you know, previously done in the past.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I could obviously see a big need, especially right now in the market, the way things are. Although I think I do feel like the market's getting better for tech companies, but it's definitely still a tough time. And I think it's probably going to be tough throughout the rest of the year, beginning of next year. But a tool like that is immensely helpful, especially even right now, right? We're all going into planning season for next year. So interesting. Well, with every new business and every exec that I have on, there's always a lot of challenges that you've lived and breathed. And that's really the context of the show, to be able to share those and talk about them so we can all learn from them and somewhat commiserate with you for similar stories that we've had. But when I talk about struggle and challenges and even near-death experiences for the companies, I mean, what are some of the things that come to mind?
Yeah, I think, look, funding is always a big one. I mean, we need a bit of money to operate so that we can, you know, hire the development resource and even, you know, put some salespeople and SDRs and marketing in place. So that's always important to make sure it's right. And I think, you know, I think one of the big things, and I've mentioned this before in the past, right, is just prioritization. Because we only have so much funds and only so much runway. There's so much to do and so much to build. And what we've been learning as, you know, we've been going through this journey, is that the layers of complexity, it's just getting more and more layers, and it's getting more and more complex. So every time we have a change, the impact is much larger. Everything's taking longer as the platform builds out. But also we've got one of our values, which is being simple, and simplicity is very hard to get to. And that takes us a lot of time, but it's super important because we want to handle all the complexity within the platform, and we don't want to push that onto our customers. We want it to be simple from where our customers see it and look at it and understand the data of how they then interact with the user interface. And that's also taken us a lot of time. So it's becoming a balancing act to, you know, what can we do now? Or even in our 6 or 12 month plan, that ensures that we will deliver value, but at the same time, not consume too much of our resource that we're not able to get the main things out that we need to, so that we can actually be here in a year or 2 years time.
Have you had a like specific experience of like examples that people could relate to of like how what's driven either prioritization in a very positive way where you guys got it right, or, you know, was there a time where maybe prioritize something not in the best way, and then the ramifications of what you had to deal with?
Yes, actually, you know, quite recently, we've been looking at, you know, we've got customers now on the platform. So customers, of course, what's important to us is getting the feedback from our customers on how we enhance the platform. What do we, you know, how do we build this out? What would they like to see? What's going to help them within their businesses? With having native in place to drive more value. But at the same time, we've got a platform that we need to build out, which has multiple modules and components to it. So we've got a limited resource of developers, and we've got to, you know, understand that, right, yes, there's absolutely things that we need to do for our customers, and that's absolutely the focus. But at the same time, we know we need to build more value into the platform. So how do you do that to make sure that we can achieve both? But ultimately, there is just too much. So we've got to make really some tough decisions. You know, my co-founder Lara mentioned to me is, you know, it's the opportunity cost. What are we gonna select and put our bets on and focus on over these next 12 to 18 months that's going to deliver what we need to make sure that we can get to our next funding round. And at the same time, of course, have our customers get what they need. So that, because we don't want them to leave us, of course, that'd be really bad. But also at the same time that we can continue to build out the platform. So we've just had to make some calls, and we're going to have to slow down some pieces, and actually some things we might not be able to do, given the complexity of what's behind it and how much resource it's going to consume.
Yeah, I mean, and that ties directly into the other piece that I think all of us are really focused on, or at least the vast majority of us now are focused on, where, you know, we, in the software world, we have two kind of moving targets, right? We've got to have growth. We've got to grow year over year. And, you know, how aggressively do we have to grow depends on the funding strategy that you're executing and what your exit strategy is. And then there's the other side of that, is how much cash can you burn in order to achieve that growth you're trying to achieve. And, you know, my mindset for the past couple of years now is, how can I grow at a meaningful rate, but how can I also be operationally efficient and try to spend as less as possible to extend the runway as long as I can? And ideally, like, how can we get to a cash flow break-even standpoint where we have more options and flexibility with just not, you know, which types of VCs will fund us, but also other types of facilities to get money, everything from borrowing against ARR to venture debt to true debt facilities. But prioritizations and what you're working on and why, that becomes like the key to the whole thing. Because to your point, like you were mentioning, like what resources can help and what will it do for the business and all of that. If you get the prioritization wrong, then not only are you potentially going to hurt growth, but you could blow up your whole cash plan of how much money can you actually spend on doing that one thing. I know at my first company, Talent Rover, we would jump through hoops to get customers delivered from an implementation standpoint. And in reality, I wasn't solving the problem. I was trying to put a Band-Aid on the problem. What we should have done is reinvented how we were doing customer delivery, and specifically used more external partners and really made them successful versus trying to do it ourselves. Because us internally focusing on the prioritization of getting customers live, which my whole mindset was and always will be, we've got to do right by the customer. Focusing our entire team on doing implementations, all of a sudden I destroyed product, and my product team was now involved in customer deliveries, and it was just a nightmare that we nearly bankrupted the company a couple times over.
Yep, and it's absolutely true. I got to tell you, it's what we've been facing. And if my co-founder Laura was here and heard that, she would go, "I've told you, Werner." So, because I was doing the exact thing. So, because I was going, we need to get customers on. We got to get the trials on. But every time we're doing that, we were consuming development resource to get them up and running. And the tweaks of configuration that we need that we have. I mean, yes, the more customers we have now, it becomes more standard. But it's balancing, right? If we're going to be taking development resource away to get these customers live, or to make the adjustments, or to say, right, we're going to take a customer from a CRM that's because we're not just on Salesforce, we're CRM agnostic. It's going to consume a lot of resource, but what's the impact then of what that has? Well, we've just delayed these next two sprints because of we can't get everything out. We've got 60% out of over that, and that's the decisions we've had to make now. We're just not able to do that. And to your point, do we look to outsource that, have someone help us, because it is a simple install, but can they help then onboard the customers and understand those data points and actually add value to that? So that, you know, those are some of the things that we're starting to look at now, because so great to hear that story from you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fundamental. So my newest company, Assemble, we are like laser focused on this particular topic of how do we get it set up, installed as easily as possible? How do we make our product like what we call a managed package, because it's a product inside of Salesforce. How do we make our package as small as possible so that it's as nimble as it can be inside of a Salesforce environment, but also with as much flexibility in customizations that you can do without having to write code? Like, how do you do that? To your point at the beginning of the early of the show, that sounds really simple. That's immensely difficult, but we know the value. And then the flip side, the other big thing we're focused on is user usability. Like, how do we make it as easy for them to use this thing as possible? Because I've learned over the years that if it's difficult to use or you have to require a lot of training, it's going to lead to a lot of additional cost on onboarding and length of time to onboard and all of that. So, you know, that's hard lessons learned over the years for sure.
No, exactly. And we did the same, right? We wanted to make, we own the App Exchange for Salesforce, so it's very easy to get later switched on and small. But there's configuration that needs to do to get the dimensions. And so now we're actually focusing on onboarding Wizard. It'll just make that process much easier, even simplified, even faster. So we can even do it faster than the half an hour it takes now. But that just makes it easier. And it is, it's just being smart and looking at what are other ways that we can manage this to make it a great customer experience. But I think one of the areas that we still need to focus on is that once you're in the product, okay, great, where do I go now? Where do I navigate to? And looking at, other technologies that can help with that onboarding, not necessarily just trying to explain to someone on an hour call how to work it and then say goodbye, that it's actually in product onboarding. That makes it easier.
Yeah, and then how do you quantify that cost? Is that a human? Is that other technology?
Exactly, and there's great technologies out there that now that can help with that. But there's work to manage all that too. And again, then so do you need, it's a headcount, so I need another person in. Well, do I need that person now, or do we do that later, or do I need customer success? And these are the big decisions we need to make, because there's limited headcount we've got for us to do what we need to do over the next couple of years.
I mean, what else comes to mind with some of the other challenges? So prioritization is a big theme that ties to so many different things that we were just talking about. What else has happened to you?
So I think, the other big piece, and I think this is for everyone, is the sales, right? You need to sell. And selling, it's not like companies are opening up their arms saying, let's just put some new technology in and signing POs after the first call. That's not quite what's happening. it's a very different world to what it was. I don't know if it was really like that in the past, maybe 10 years ago, not more recently. But it's been very clear on the messaging, right? Because it is noisy. There's a lot of companies out there, a lot of tech companies, and it's making sure that you've got the right messaging to talk to those personas, but getting hold of the personas. I think, Brandon, I was telling you before, right? Like, I mean, your LinkedIn inbox, and I was just talking about mine. I'm really struggling to manage it just from the pure inbound that's coming in, just to even get to messages that I should be getting to. It's not very easy. And I'm just thinking of some of the personas that we target, of what their inboxes must look like, or their LinkedIn inboxes must look like. And it's so how do you make sure that we've got our sales cycle sales process really well defined and tightly linked with marketing, so that our messaging is very clear, and that the idea of the spray and pray technique is history, right? It's really, we're highly targeted, highly focused on what we're going after, and making sure that we're doing those two to three things right. Because if we start to do too many, we're trying too many different options on the sales side, that does not work. So it is a different world out there. We're going to need to be patient and learn, and be very clear when we're testing something that we're testing one change. We're not changing things three or four times, sending it or seeing how that sales cycle went, and then not figuring out what was the correct combination of things that we did that actually drove that sale to close. We've got to repeat this, right? So we've been very careful about how we approach that and how we do that.
Are you seeing, because we're doing a lot of different things right now, I have a few different companies, and each of the companies is in a very different space with sales and how they generate sales and where sales come from. Are you doing a mixture of like heavy inbound and outbound, or are you focusing more outbound than inbound? What do you think is working for you right now?
We focus mainly on outbound. And then we're looking, we've got a referral program that we've set up, that's helping with a bit of inbound. And then of course, we've got the standard, inbound, structure that you would have. But again, it's, we know with inbound in the space that we are, again, that's the point, right? Everyone's being flooded with outbound emails. Not everyone's going to be clicking, happily on your emails to say, hey, I want to learn more. Come talk to me. So we're focusing more heavily on our outbound.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard. I mean, I look at, like to get a hold of me, like live and actually have a conversation with me is impossible. So emails, I like, if it's a solicitation email, I really never read it. Maybe I get one sentence in to see if I can come up with the context, but they just don't have time. There's so many that come in. And then my LinkedIn, like, is just a joke. Like, you just can't keep up. I wish LinkedIn would come up with some AI that would just give you a summary digest of here's all the emails in your email box so that you can, like, easily sort what's what, so you can actually get back to people you want to get back with. But otherwise, it's impossible. And then even my phone. So I don't have an office line. I just have a cell phone. But my voicemail on my cell phone says, don't leave me a message, send me a text. Because I won't listen to the voicemails, just because it's all spam stuff. So like outbound getting me, like it's hard. And I see it with, you know, our sales teams finding the same struggles with how they approach their prospects.
So Brandon, yeah, it's so interesting. You know, just back to your point, is that it's, you know, it has to be highly targeted, and that's where we are seeing, you know, more success. When you spend the time and effort to do that targeting. But I, to your point, just on that LinkedIn piece, I agree. I mean, it really is, it's a struggle, but I do wish, I hope if anyone at LinkedIn is listening, it needs to be restructured, because I can't even look at it anymore. I don't know what to find. And I know I should be getting back to people I want to get back to, but it's so hard to then go back and actually manage it. And if I could just integrate that into Outlook, I could have all categories of where things came, it would make it easier. And to that point, right, that's what we're facing. And I think just our personas that we hit up, but I know it could be even worse for them. When you're looking at people like your RevOps leaders, your CROs and so forth. So I think that's, you know, that's important. But I do think marketing play a very important piece in this too, on how that link with sales and being tightly integrated on how we approach it.
I have seen a trick that I thought was very effective of people who want to get my attention commenting on posts that I post on LinkedIn. Cause that I always read all my comments, versus I never read my email. So there's been some clever salespeople that have been commenting on different stuff. And finally, after they comment enough, one of the comments includes an ask for me to talk to them. And then they'll get my attention. So there's new clever ways of doing it outside of email, but it takes a lot. To your point, it takes time. And we do a lot of personalization. We do a lot of account-based marketing and tiering it, like how can we get on this company's radar so they can self-educate a little bit more about us before we try to engage with them. But it's also a slower process that way, where it takes more time to build pipeline.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, and actually, and just on that, but it's important what you're just saying. The sales cycle is longer now, right? It does take more time. You got to build the credibility with you know, the persona, and it's not a simple, you know, to get a call set up takes time, and even that, the scheduling of the call as well. It's not that, hey, well, let's jump on a call in the next 2 or 3 days. It doesn't happen, right? It's like, we've got this going on. It's going to be probably 2-3 weeks before we can talk, and that's the first call. And then we know, you know, there's a process that happens after that. So things are just taking more time. And I think actually, in a way, it's not a bad thing either, you know, that companies are being a bit more methodical about this, about what comes into the tech stack. And is it the right thing for us now and in the future? So, you know, as you know, I think about later, what we help in with is making sure that companies are more efficient, can measure performance correctly and build accurate revenue efficiency plans. And that's the same thing with the tech stack, right? It should be the same process that's going through making sure all these technologies really giving us what we need for what we're spending on it, and being able to, you know, see the impact of them within the team. So I do understand it absolutely to a degree.
Well, what do you think? I always love to ask this question. Like, what do you think other founders or execs, what should people be focused on right now?
Runway. I think, top of mind for myself, and Laura, but I do think, I mean, runway is okay. I suppose a given, but it's making sure that you know, you can manage that, but also deliver what needs to be delivered. Know that, look, things will
you know, will pick up as they always do. If things are, you know, they go up, they go down, and making sure that, you know, you know you'll take a bit of risk and hope that those bets that you're making are the right ones and you'll be in the right place at the right time. I think timing's really important. Yeah. And to that point, you know, the longer, you know, bit longer sales cycles that we're seeing. So that means, you know, a bit longer runway, but then it comes back to the, you know, that ruthless prioritization, right? Focusing on less and making sure we do things right with the two or three things that we are going to do than trying to do, you know, 10 things. So, you know, I'll just, one of the reasons I'm here in Barcelona is for exactly that exercise. We've mapped out exactly all the things that we need to do, across all the platform of what we're building. And then it's going through there, what we need now, what's going to be midterm, what's going to be long-term, and what's the time behind each of those, and what are we going to have to say no to? I think a lot of founders are going to need to be going through those exercises with their product teams. If they're not, I'd highly advise them too, because this is the next 18 months we're going to be talking about, 18 to 24 months, and need to make sure that we're in the best position to come out of, you know, come out of that really strong.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think you've nailed it. You know, it's always funny. It all goes back to runway and what's the next 18 to 24 months look like. And it's not just about cash for that. It's prioritization and all the things you were just talking about. So, but unfortunately, my friend, we are out of time. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been great to have you on. For everyone else, Cash and Burn comes out every Tuesday. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.